Reading from The Art of Chanting, Hare Krishna. We're discussing Namaparad. This is the fifth offense. Minimize the glories of chanting Hare Krishna. And we read this page 46. It is wrong to think that the unparalleled results of chanting Harinam are exaggerations given to induce people to take up chanting. Because often when people read Shastras, they see so many fabulous benefits and rewards that are offered. If you take this bath in Kumbh Mela, you'll get this. If you do this puja, you'll get that. And it's all kinds of seemingly fruitive results attained by performing various activities in the name of devotion or just in the name of some puja, deva puja, devata puja. And many people think, oh, these are exaggerations to encourage people to engage in punya karma or sukriti. And in one sense, they're not exaggerations, but they're presented to induce people or encourage people that don't ordinarily do good things to do something good. Because most people are involved with sense gratification and they're really too busy planning for, arranging for, and enjoying their senses to really take out time. Do any puja, or they don't feel any need for it. So the sages, if they say something, it has some meaning. The sages who compile the shastras and who give these statements, they're being empowered by and inspired by the Lord Himself, the Lord in the heart, or the Lord directly. So when they say something, their words have power. It's like power of attorney. If the client has a case and then he gives power of attorney, he gives the power to some lawyer to speak on his behalf, or the ambassador of a country, the ambassador of Germany, he comes and lives in Delhi. But in one sense, he's been delegated all the power of Germany. All the power of the country is within him. So if he says something, it's backed by the whole country of Germany. Or if you offend him, if the Indian government or some politician offends the ambassador, that can even lead to war. It can go that far. So this one person has so much power in his words, in his position, in his responsibility. So what to speak of sages? Enlightened sages, enlightened rishis that are beyond the influence of the modes of nature. If they say something in Shastra, has a backing. And what's behind it? Is the sage behind it? No, the sage is not behind it. God is behind it. Because the sages and rishis, they're ambassadors. They're the ambassadors. They've been given power of attorney by Bhagavan. So we should understand that and take it very seriously. Yes, Raghunath Das Goswami is saying this in his Astakam. If anyone chants this Radhika Astakam, then he gets the direct darshan of Radha Krishna Yugal. Arupa Goswami is saying that if anyone chants this prayer, this Astakam, then he attains the eternal service of Radharani. There's many phal shruti, fruit of hearing, blessings, benedictions, boons. So it's not a small thing. So we get encouraged to do it, and it's not an exaggeration. So two things are there. Those that aren't sadhakas or performing sadhana, they get encouraged to do something good, which will benefit their soul and push them towards liberation. Because they read that, oh, I get such good benefit. But those that are doing sadhana, the actual devotees, the bhaktas, Ram bhaktas, Krishna bhaktas, Gauranga bhaktas, they don't need any inducement. And they're not bargaining. They're not doing any bargaining with the Lord. Oh, if I do this, I get that. Because all we want is seva. All we want is the service, the prem seva of Radha and Krishna, and specifically the seva of Radharani, her lotus feet. So if I do this, I get all these benefits, whatever. You give or you don't give, I'm not chanting for that. I'm chanting for two purposes. One, to please you. Actually, one purpose. One purpose, I'm chanting out of love. And that's what love is about. I'm chanting to please you and to become more qualified, to please you more. Because if I become more pure, if this purifies me, which is indicated here, if I become more purified by engaging in this activity, prikama, puja, prayer, stuti, stotra, ashtakam, etc., or brat, or tapa, if I become more purified, as it's promising, then with that additional purity, I won't enjoy that newfound peace of mind or that newfound pure mind, but I'll use it for your pleasure. I'll use that. I'll be more qualified and be more suitable instrument to please you. Because ultimately, Krishna is only pleased by pure bhakti, by pure devotees, in their pure siddhadeha. So anything short of that, if one doesn't have a siddhadeha, and he's not pure, then his attempts to please Krishna are somewhat faulty. Because they're mixed with the modes of nature and so much contamination and so much selfishness. So therefore, all these fabulous glories of the holy name, they're meant to increase our faith in the holy name as such, and understand our understanding of the holy name, what a great process it is, and our faith to take it up very sincerely with great determination and enthusiasm. That's the benefit of reading these scriptures, glorify the holy name, and that was in another chapter. And we should not minimize that. Think, oh, this is, it's called Artavad, this Vad, this speech is simply over-glorifying the benefit or the usefulness, the art, Artavad. These words in scripture are simply exaggerations. That's how they translate it, Artavad, Nam Artavad. The Vad or the words or descriptions of the benefits and art, usefulness of the holy name. No, it's really true. And it's really true and it really works. But then you might say, well, but how come it's not working with me? It's promising all these things. Well, the holy name is testing you. Are you an early quitter? Will you try and then say, oh, I tried. I did this thing for 1 week and I didn't get the benediction. So, forget it. So the holy name was thinking, oh, I was just, if you went one more day, I was about to give you the benefit. But since you ran away, and I was just putting your gift in the box, I was just putting the wrapping paper on it, and I was just about to put the ribbon on it. Then Radharani came and said, guess what? He stopped chanting our names. And he said, and then Krishna said, oh, anyway, there's so many other people I can give these gifts to. I just changed the name tag. I had written the same gift I was going to give, and I just changed the name Krishna Das to Chaitanya Das, because he has more faith, and he keeps going. He's determined. So, Nishchayat was a Dharya. We must be very determined and humble and fixed. So holy name is completely independent. This is the most important part. Like bhakti itself, or herself rather. Bhakti herself, the holy name, Srinam Prabhu, he is completely independent and self-manifest. He does not depend on anything to manifest his splendor. There's no question of any exaggeration in regards to his glories. The tiny human brain cannot even ascertain the actions of material mantras, herbs, and healing stones. So how can it possibly perceive the inconceivable power of transcendental sound vibration? In the Shastras, they describe oftentimes analogies about there's different mantras and tantra and herbs. If you wear this herb on your chest, and then this will happen, and you get the power, it's called Vasibhut. Vasibhut means the power to control different elements. It gets different powers there by wearing different gems and herbs. And the medicine itself is amazing. You take some rasayana medicine. I saw one person, one Gaudiya Vaishnava, old sannyasi from Gaudiya Math. He looked like he was already dead for a few weeks. He was so thin and skinny and undernourished. And then somehow or other, some vaidya came. And he administered some rasayana medicine, which I heard about, because when I was visiting that person, he was really already dead. And then I didn't see again. I went somewhere else. Then someone said, oh, guess what? So-and-so is traveling now. Traveling? Where? To Goloka or what? Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Sri Shiman. He's making privation to the Nitya Leela or Boma Vrindavan Leela? No. He's going to Europe for preaching. I said, really? 89 years old? He was on his bed of arrows. He's lying on a bed of arrows for so many months. Yes, it was a phenomenon. It was a miracle. Everyone says it attributes it to some miraculous will of Lord Gauranga. But at least that's, of course, the efficient cause. But the immediate cause was some vaidya came and said, oh, I think I have some family medicine. We have rasayanas in our family tradition that have been passed down for hundreds of years. Because these Vaidyas, they have these long-standing lines of Vaidya, means physician, Ayurvedic physician. They often have medicines that were prepared 300 years ago, 500 years ago, 10 generations, 1,000 years ago by their ancestors, especially in South India where the tradition is well preserved. And they're kept in clay pots or in gold boxes or in silver boxes. Especially they have many medicines mixed in oils or ghee, because ghee preserves for a long time. When they did archaeological digging in Egypt, I read some books about this when I was in college, and they were going into these, they call these pyramids, and they found different articles there. Of course, the mummies, that's a famous thing. They found bodies that were 3,000 years old and there was still skin on the bones. Because of two things. One thing is the preparation, the embalming technique that they used to prepare the dead body. That was part of it. And the biggest part of it was the effect of the pyramid power. Because the geometric shape of a pyramid is a very powerful shape. And if you locate the sarcophagus or the body in a particular location inside that pyramid, there's a bisection of different stellar or cosmic energies that pass through the pyramid, and then they cross in a certain way to make a preservation effect. It's like a science. Egyptians were not stupid. They're brilliant, really brilliant. And this is ancient civilization. So, I mean, the pyramid's there, you know, the pyramid's like this. So if you put the body down here, it doesn't have the effect. If you put it up here, it doesn't have the effect. You have to put it exactly in the right place. Because if the pyramid is almost like, you can imagine a prism, you like put white light through it and it breaks into rainbow colors. Like crystal, you say, prism. So the pyramid acts like something like a prism. And these invisible forces, energy from stars and planets, it passes through the geometric angles of the pyramid. And then they intersect at a certain level in the pyramid. If you place something there, then it's preserved. So they were finding, you know, people that they would take off the wrappings, and skin is there, and the whole body. Three, you know, that's really good. That's why they market all these beauty creams and things. Ancient secrets from Egypt, beauty secrets. And the ladies say, "Oh yeah," but the missing point is their house is not shaped as a pyramid. They have to live in a pyramid house also, and then they can last for 3,000 years. Of course, I don't know what they do about their husband. He'd probably be long gone. But at any rate, so when they did this, when they went in there, they found, of course, the bodies, but they also found wheat, strains of wheat. Strains of wheat and varieties of wheat and rice that they haven't. There's no. You can't find anywhere on the planet. They found the seeds. That there's so many. There's hundreds of grain strains of types of rice and wheat. So they found wheat and rice there on the side of the pyramid, and then they tried to cultivate it. And the seeds were alive, had life force. They found jars of honey, and they found jars of ghee. Because even without being in the pyramid, if ghee is properly made, it never goes bad. So in these Vaidya families, they have ghee coming down. They mix up the herbs, and the rasayana is some of the different medicines in ghee. Their great-great-great-great-grandfather made it. And it's like, they only keep for their own family. If somebody's dying, then they give it one teaspoon. It's like a Sanjeevani Ras, which you read about in Bhagavatam, 8th canto. Shukracharya had this swimming pool of Sanjeevani Ras, and he's a guru of the demons. And he also knows Chikitsa. He also knew the science, Chikitsaya. And so he took the demons and he dropped them in the swimming pool of Sanjeevani Ras. And then they got new bodies. So these are some of the amazing effects of medicines, mantras that these Vaidyas, they can have this medicine so powerful. So our Swami, our sannyasi friend, got this medicine. It was 1,000 years old, Ayurvedic medicine. And because Vaidya was inspired by the super soul. Usually we'd only give this to our family members, but you're doing such valuable work for humanity that we're going to give you our family family medicine. So the point is that if rasayanas and material mantras and what to speak of sparshamani, the touchstone, if they have such effect, then what to speak of the Mahamantra? How much effect the Mahamantra must have? So the point is, the tiny human brain cannot even ascertain the actions of material mantras, herbs, and healing stones. So how can the human brain possibly perceive the inconceivable power of transcendental sound vibration? We're discussing the fifth offense to the holy name. It's called Artavad. Nam, Artavad. To think the vad or the discussions or words about the holy name, to think that they're exaggerations. They're telling all this art, all these benefits and usefulness, but it's exaggeration, it's not really anything. Therefore, one should not doubt or disbelieve the glories of Harinam. Sooner or later, the faithful devotee will personally experience the marvelous results of chanting Krishna's name. The results are like seeds that fructify in due course of time. In other words, we're chanting and we're producing so many seeds by our sincerities. You can say sincerity bijas or sincerity seeds. And as we continue chanting, then those seeds are being collected in our heart. And then Krishna, he'll say, oh, you have a good stockpile of seeds here. But I don't see any flowers or fruits coming. So maybe you need some soil. You need some soil and water and sunshine. So then Krishna provides that in the heart. Then the seeds, by his assistance, then the seeds produce the flowers of bhava and the fruits of prem phal. Success in chanting depends on two factors. What are those two factors? It's just like the Yashoda Damodar, the Mantan, Damodar Bandhan, the tied up Damodar. The mercy of Krishna, then the sincere endeavor to avoid aparads. So if one is guilty of this offense of minimizing the glories of the Vedas, or to think that they're exaggerations telling us all these things, then what to do? So there are methods of rectification. One who is guilty of minimizing the glories of the holy name should humbly approach learned Vaishnavas and attentively hear about Krishna's qualities and pastimes. So offenses, to have an offensive or negative or doubting mentality or heart about scripture, Shastra Ninda, or about Sadhu, Sadhu Ninda, or about the other glories of the holy name, it's due to the misplacement of the heart, the corruption of the mentality. So this is a type of sourness. It's a type of sour face, sourpuss, they say sour face. When someone has when they have a negative outlook because of doubts, because of ignorance, because of fear, because of bad experience, then they bring this type of samskaras into spiritual practice and they project the same aura of negativity into their sadhana. And so they don't seem to get a very good result. So then the acharyas are saying that we should approach advanced devotees and hear from them about Krishna gun, Radha Krishna lila, gun and lila, the qualities and pastimes of Radha and Krishna, because these are guna madhurya and lila madhurya. The qualities of Krishna are very, very sweet, extremely sweet. And Krishna's pastimes, especially all his pastimes are sweet, all of his pastimes, Srishti lila, Madhvacharya, Valavacharya, the perception of an advanced devotee is everything is sweet about Krishna. All of his pastimes are sweet. His pastimes of creation, Srishti. Srishti madaram pralaya madara. Everything is sweet about Krishna, he's saying. Krishna, your pastime of creating this universe, Srishti, is very sweet. Your pastime of destroying the universe, it's very sweet. Oh, Krishna, you burned down my house and destroyed my family. This is very sweet. Maybe wife, husband may feel like that, but generally they wouldn't. So this is very sweet. Burn up my house, Madhuram. Steal my car, Madhuram. All your activities are very sweet. So he's perceiving like this. So what to speak of Krishna's Brajamadriya Lila, or his Madhurya pastimes with his Madhurya Bhaktas, Madhurya Mahi Bhaktas, those devotees whose very minds, hearts, bodies, senses, and everything is made of Madhurya Bhav, Madhura Rati. That means the gopis, the gopikas of Vrindavan. And they're so much sweet, and so much dedicated, and so much focused, and so much surrendered to Krishna. So when we read about the pastimes of Krishna in Madhurya Dham Sri Vrindavan, then naturally, or as it mentions here, we go to hear from advanced Vaishnavas, because they'll administer the sweetness in the right dosage. And what particular sweetness we need? We need 50% sweetness. If you look in medicine, sometimes it says 1%, 2% myconazole nitrate. You buy some medicine, right? It says 1%. It doesn't say it, and the rest of it is a cream base or a gel base. And only 1% of this mycin or your sin or my sin or somebody's sin, streptomycin, like this. So that's all it need. All you need is a 1%, and it does the job. So the advanced devotee, that's why it's saying advanced devotee. Because if we simply take the Krishna Gun or Krishna Leela on our own, we may overdose. We may take too much or the wrong sweetness. And then if you take too much sweet, what happens? Do you know what happens? If you eat too much sweet, your stomach turns sour. You throw up, and throwing up is very sour. And you get a headache because poisons are created in the belly and they circulate through the system and give you headache. Poison, the nerve endings become irritated by the poison in the bloodstream. So you feel that you have a headache due to food, belly problem. It's so funny, when you go to Ayurvedic doctors, you have some difficulty. You say, oh, my digestion is not good. And he says, yes, but there's some imbalance in your brain. First we're going to treat your brain. No, what about my digestion? Anyway, don't worry about that. It's very funny when you go to Ayurvedic doctors. You go in and say, look, there's something wrong with my foot. You say, no, I know, but we're going to fix your arm first. But my arm is okay. There's really nothing wrong with my arm. Because they see things in a different way. Because when you say, oh, my stomach hurts, and then they go like this and say, yeah, that hurts because your liver's shot. And you can't see. You don't have any scope to see your liver or the condition of the pulse. It's called the nadi, the pulse of your organs, like they can see. Magic vision, finger vision. They see with, this is their sonoscope, their fingers. Of course, nowadays that sensitivity, that knowledge, that perception has been withdrawn due to tamagun and improper practices. So how to rectify this idea, this offense? We go to the Vaishnavas and we hear Krishna's qualities and Krishna's pastimes. And he'll give the proper sweetness. If we need to hear Srishti Leela, well, he'll tell the Srishti Leela. If we need to hear Lifting Govardhan Hill, then he'll tell us Lifting Govardhan Hill. If we need to hear Ras Leela, he'll tell us Ras Leela. And what qualities he'll tell? He'll tell the different qualities of Krishna. And this way, so much sweetness will come in our sour stomach and our sour hearts and our faulty mentality will be purified, will be washed. Because if you have a cup of salt water, or if you have a cup of Karela juice, Karela, I think you know what Karela is, it's that bitter thing, bitter gourd, I think they call it, bitter gourd. Karela, Karela. And you have one cup of Karela juice, but you have 2 liters of mystery water, sugar water, very thick, very, very thick, concentrated. You start pouring it into that cup of Karela juice, what will happen? The glass of Karela juice, which is 200 milliliters, will be displaced, knocked out by the inflow of 3 liters of sugar juice, right? This container is only 200 milliliters, and it's full of bitter juice. And you start pouring sweet juice, and then that goes inside and pushes the other one outside. And then after some time, what do you have? 200 milliliters of mystery, sugar juice, right? So our hearts and mind are like a container. They're like a cup, like a bartan, a pitcher, or whatever you can say. And right now, it's really Vishakumbha. And a pot of poison. Vishakumbha? It's like a pot of poison. But if we can We don't have to worry about turning it upside down. We don't have to worry about breaking the pot. We don't have to worry about getting a straw or a siphon and taking it out and draining it or removing it somehow. We don't have to do anything. It's there. Let it stay there. But just pour in sugar juice. Keep the same pot. Keep the same mind, same heart. But drink deeply the qualities and pastimes of Krishna. This is the remedial measure for making the offense of artavad, dam artavad. Minimize the glories of chanting Hare Krishna. Full of regret, one should admit his offense and remove his doubts by receiving proper knowledge regarding nam tattva. The gentle devotees will then forgive the offender with compassionate embraces and bless him with spiritual strength. So this is the poetic way of saying how one receives the mercy of advanced devotees. It's not necessarily literal. Go to your Gurudev. Oh yes, I forgive you. Now let me give you an embrace. It's not like that. But he embraces you with his teachings. He embraces you with his mercy. Of course, if it's some lady guru and a lady, then they may embrace, or a man guru, whatever. But it's the idea. It's a poetic way of saying that if you have the right attitude and right response, then the environment will become favorable. It's all about ignorance, really. It's all about ignorance. Everything's about ignorance. Ignorance and lack of faith. So that's why it says you have to hear Nam Tattva. And that's the guru is supposed to teach that. You see in Jiva Dharma that the guru teaches different tattvas. There's the Sambandha tattvas, which is the foundation to practice. And then, okay, now I have a foundation, I have an interest, I have a sankalpa, I have a desire to practice sadhana bhakti, or bhakti sadhana, and I understand the wheres and wherefores of it. And what's the foundation? I understand my identity, God's identity, and the need for this activity. I understand jiva tattva, nam tattva, and srishti tattva, bhagavat tattva, ishvara tattva, kala tattva, karma tattva, prakriti tattva. These things, this is the foundation of sambandha. Now what do I do with all that? What do I do with all that knowledge? I think you go to college and they fill you up all this knowledge. But they're trying to prepare you to do something with that knowledge. Go out into the work field and be a programmer. Or go out in the work field and be a manager, or be a businessman or exporter or whatever. So then you apply it. Applied knowledge, applied technology. So that's called abhideya. So then you put all that foundation. From that foundation you start to build. Foundation is the groundwork, and then you make the building and the design. And then when it's done, that's the conclusion. So then there's some more teachings about abhideya, how to properly chant and how to properly execute the 64 limbs of devotion. So this is all guru's duty to train. So if disciple or shishya learns properly, then he wouldn't run into so many problems with offenses and minimizing the glories of the holy name. So I can stop here for a few minutes if anyone has any question about the fifth offense, namartavad. Sixth offense. To interpret the holy name. To interpret the effect and meaning of the holy name in one's own way is a sixth offense. This includes using material logic to understand the holy name or to compare the transcendental vibration to some transitory phenomenon. Below are two examples of mundane interpretation, one from the Lilamrita, or both of them actually. And this is what you would call a mundane interpretation of the holy name, to equate the holy name with something material, or that it, because the holy name is transcendental. It has nothing to do. It's Radha and Krishna. But this is from Lilamrita. It's a rather funny anecdote. Once the hip poet Allen Ginsberg, in the 70s there was a famous poet, Allen Ginsberg, he narrated his experience of chanting to Srila Prabhupada and a group of guests. And Prabhupada actually liked him very much. He met him many times. A very intelligent person and famous, influential person in the 70s. Worldwide, actually. And he was a professor also in a university. He was a very famous person. And Prabhupada liked him. When Prabhupada would come to New York, he would go to the airport and meet him with the devotees. I mean, he had some bhav himself for Prabhupada. conclude. So he was saying, well, Swamiji, you and I chant Hare Krishna. So concluding his talk, Mr. Ginsburg invited all the guests to visit the Frederick Street ISKCON temple by saying, Allen Ginsberg said, I highly recommend the early morning kirtans at the Hare Krishna temple for those people who are coming down from LSD and want to stabilize their consciousness on re-entry. So, all you hippies out there in hippie land, if you're having a bad trip on your LSD, lysergic acid diethyl amide, which is what the abbreviation means, lysergic acid diethyl amide. This is the chemical breakdown of this mysterious drug. And this Hare Krishna chanting is really good anecdote for drug addiction. Of course, it's true in one way. So this is what we might call, at least we consider to use this as an example of a mundane interpretation about the transcendental glories and holy name. Now, this is quite interesting, because it's not telling here, but anyway, I'll just read it. I don't want to get into it. After hearing Srila Prabhupada's kirtan, this is another pastime, Lou Gottlieb, who is the owner of a hippie retreat, of course, we left out the part where it said nudist colony. And Tamal Krishna and Vishnu John were there living in a tree in the nudist colony. Nudist colony is where you don't have to waste any money on clothes or keep up with the latest fashions, because the air is your clothes. And these places, especially this was I guess in California. Where else? That's why people live there. Are called California. We lived there for many years, California. So then Lou Gottlieb, he Prabhupada came to his place, which they didn't tell Prabhupada all the fine details about the place. Anyway, he went there for a preaching program, and it was fortunate. It was good because I guess Prabhupada knows Sri Kala Gyan, and he knew his old servants were there, Vishnu Jan and Tamal Krishna. So he went there for their benefit. It was actually called the Morning Star Ranch. There's a star that follows the sun in the morning called the Morning Star. Anyway, Prabhupada went there and did kirtan. And when he listened to that, then the manager of this nudist colony, which we called the hippie retreat in the book, we didn't give the fine points of it, he said, there's no doubt that the Maha Mantra, once you get it into the head, it's there. It never stops. It's in the cells. It awakens the DNA or something like that. So he tried, because he knew it was something magic. And so he tried to say that it was somehow altering the chromosomes. DNA enters the ears and alters the chromosomes and creates a mutation. You become a Hare Krishna. It's like a mutated human species. You know, they're hairless, and and they have this little tail sticking out of the top of their head, and they go around and go, Hare Krishna. Anyway, obviously, to recommend chanting as an antidote for an overdose of drugs, LSD, or to compare it to DNA. It's interesting, three letters, right? One guy thought it was LSD. Is a mundane interpretation of Krishna's divine names. Now, how would we advise Lou Gottlieb and Allen Ginsberg to rectify their offense? We say, listen, Lou, Allen, it's like this. This offense is nullified by following the same procedure mentioned in the fifth offense, which means to get the right understanding of the holy name and approach Vaishnavas and hear the qualities and pastimes of Krishna's sweet activities and form. One should confess his transgression to the devotees and beg for illumination on the true nature of Nam. Feeling the utmost shame, one should beg forgiveness for his offense. So that's the rectification or removal of the tendency or the proclivity or committing of the sixth offense to the holy name. interpreting, giving some mundane interpretation or material interpretation of the holy name. If you want to, what is the holy name? You want to know what is the holy name? Read the Shastra. The holy name is Radha, is Radha and Krishna. And it is full of, it's Ras. And all these things, you read that, it's Namachintamani Krishnas. It's Namachintamani, it's Chintamani. The name is Chintamani, Chintamani. It is a thought gem. It will give everything, whatever is in your mind. And it will give you, if material things are in your mind, it will give you material things. But it will give in such a way that the material things will leave your mind. Then the pure thought will arise in your mind. Because the mind is also has a pure aspect. There's pure chit and pure mind and pure intelligence. So when the impurity is removed from the vessel of the mind, then the right thinking starts happening. We start thinking about Krishna and Radha and start feeling for Radha and Krishna, and we start acting for Radha and Krishna. Thinking, feeling, willing. So there's manana, and thinking, manana, then bhavana, thinking, manana, bhavana, and icha. There's no willing. What do you say willing? Kriya. Kriya means willing or acting or doing. So thinking, feeling, willing. So this mind, the spiritual mind, also thinks and desires. Thousands and thousands of desires to please Krishna, to love Krishna. So in that way the desire is one, because it's connected with his will. Because his will is that everyone loves him and everyone serves him, but he doesn't impose his will, he doesn't force his will upon anyone. It's free, free will. Any questions on this? Yeah, there's chit, this is identity, consciousness, awareness. We have pure identity, pure chit, shuddha chit, it's called, shuddha chit. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, he says, cheto darpanam marjanam. The mirror of consciousness must be marjan, cleansed. So cheto means chit, chitta. It is the plane of identity. So there's pure identity. I am so-and-so Manjari, and I am Palinadasi of Radharani, and I am in such and such. This is my Yukteswari, and this is my Janamstan, this is my Seva Kunj, and this is my Seva. This is also in the pure chit. These things, these ideas. Transcendental Upadhis. Sarvapadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. We have to get free from all material upadis, but then ultimately we get 11. We get 11 spiritual upadis. Designations. Ekadash Bhav. Seventh offense. This is a good one. Nam nam baladhi papa hi buddhi. To think that one can commit sin. To sin on the strength of the holy name. Again, it's a matter of having a clever or cheating mentality. This is deceit. I don't know what you say. How do you say that in Hindi? Deceit. Doka? Doka Dalji? So different doka? Doka. Sin on strength of the holy name. Every sin has three stages. Beginning, middle, and end. Now, every sin has three stages. Ignorance. The desire to sin, you can say avidya, icha, and kriya, or action, karma. Ignorance, the desire to sin, and the sinful act. Ignorance and desire to sin are both destroyed by chanting the holy name and performing devotional service. On the level of anartha nivritti, clearing of unwanted things, a devotee maintains some relationship to his past sins. In other words, they're still with us. There's some relationship at the level of Narta Nivritti. And Madhurya Kandamani goes into the details of all that. Although one's body is engaged in acts of devotion, the mind may continue to think of previous sinful habits. If one refrains from sin and continues chanting with pure motivation, then even the traces of sin will soon disappear. Sometimes, due to bad association, a neophyte devotee may return to his previous habits. The sins committed during such an unintentional or accidental fall down can easily be washed away by the power of Krishna's name. However, it is most reprehensible and shameful. It is a most reprehensible and shameful act for a devotee to intentionally commit sin with the thought of rectifying it by later chanting. The all-knowing holy name will not show any mercy to such a doka, such a deceitful cheater. You can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool the holy name any time. Right? Because the holy name is Krishna. He's also a cheater. He's a very big cheater. You ask the gopis, and they'll tell you how big a cheater he is. They call him straight away. They say, Kaitavo. They call him, you Kaitav. It's right there in the Bhagavatam. You cheater. And it's a very interesting point. Because the second verse of the... What is the second verse of the Bhagavatam? Dharma prochita kaitavocha paramo nirmatsaranam satam. That Shukadeva Muni is saying, all Kaitava Dharma. Cheating Dharma is kicked out in the scripture. Cheating Dharma means Karmakandya. Gyanakanda and Karmakanda are their cheating Dharma because they keep you in the material world. They're only material. So it's cheating. Cheating that the Atma is being cheated out of its potential. Its fullest potential is being denied by such misleading philosophies of Karma and Gyan. So that's cheating. So the Bhagavatam starts the second verse. There's no cheating here. If you want cheating, then go to India. don't, because this is Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. This is for the Satams, the Nirmatsara, Nirmatsarya, those that are not fishy. I heard one Acharya explain like that, it's very interesting. Nirmatsya. The Matsarya, of course, Matsarya means envy. Nir means free from envy or deceit, and free from envy, deceit. But he was once giving a tika, he said, Nirmatsya means. Nirmatsari actually is the same as Matsya. Matsya means fish, the Matsya avatar, or mean avatar. That's the, I guess that's maybe the, must be the second avatar, no? Or first. First, I think. First. Geshavadrita mihina sharira. It's the first avatar in Satyuga. Matsya avatar. So he was saying, Nirmatsya, be free from the fishy tendency. So fish, they stink. So if you have this tendency, you stink. So what is that tendency? What does it mean to be free from the fishy tendency, nirmatsya? What is, now you have to think about the fish. In the fish world, in the water, the big fish eats the little fish. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Phalguni tatra mahatam. Jivo jivasya jivanam. It's told in the second canto of Bhagavatam. Ahastani sahastanan apadani chatuspanam. Those that have no hands are food for those with hands. Ahastan, sahastan. Apadani, chatuspadam. Apad. Those that have no feet, they are food, apadan, apad, for the chatuspadam, those who have four legs. So grass, they have no feet. So the beasts eat the grass. Falguni, tatra mahatam. Falgun means weak. Mahatam means strong. Everywhere, the law is that the strong subsist on the weak. Might is right. Jivo, jivasya, jivanam. One living entity exists by eating another living entity. This is the rule of the material world. So therefore, this fish, the big fish, he's swimming around. He says, I'm a big fish here. And then a little fish appears over there. And he's watching that little fish, and the fish is starting to grow, get bigger and bigger and bigger day by day. And he's thinking, whoa, this fish is coming up now. His fins are getting longer, his gills are getting bigger. He's almost getting my size. That he's going to challenge my fish rule here, my lordship of the fish. So I would just go up behind him and rip, put him in my belly. And then I don't have to worry about that competition. So this is called fishy attitude. So this is actually quite what envy is all about. Envy means let me consume the other person. Let me annihilate the other person by my words, by a gun or a shotgun or whatever. Somehow I have to annihilate, remove, diminish the other person, so that I can establish my supremacy or maintain my position. This is what envy is all about. So it's quite appropriate interpretation. Paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Nirmatsya. Be free from the fishy idea, fishy attitude of wanting to eliminate competition and wanting to devour someone or remove someone just because they're growing and developing and challenging your position or your authority or your eminence. Well, this sword is becoming very advanced. I think we should throw him out of ISKCON. This has happened over the years. So Bhagavatam, Shuka Muni is telling in the beginning, this scripture is not for those fishy people. It's not for those envious people. This is not a cheating shastra. Dharma prachita, kaitavotra, cheating dharma is not for them. So then it's in the very same scripture in 10th canto, then the gopis say, the whole object of samabhonam of Bhagavatam is the glory, is Krishna. So when the gopis speak with Krishna, they say, you're a kaitavo, you're a cheater. You go like, it's like 12,000 verses later, the word comes again. In the second verse you see kaitavo, then you don't see anything about kaitavo until you get to the 10th canto. You cheater. That's a little bit of a side point. But at any rate, so the deceitful cheating mentality that I'm feeling this way, I'll go and make this sin, but I know that I can chant Hare Krishna, I'll get free from this. You have nothing, you can't do anything. If you fall down and commit sin, there's no other atonement you can do but chant. But that attitude will not be very conducive. Rather, you should repent that attitude and pray the Holy Name will forgive your attitude and mentality that you even thought like that, and just continue with chanting. And then the name will be a little merciful. Deceitful cheater. In other words, this the intention, everything is intention. They have a phrase in English, the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, they have some path and they put some cement on it, they pave it. It's called paving. They have a paving machine. They put asphalt or cement and make a pucca road from a kacha road. So the pathway, the road to hell, is paved with good intentions. As we sometimes make a joke. In the West they have these cemeteries where they bury people, burial grounds. And so they put a stone there. It's called a tombstone. And they say, here lies John Doe. And then they have some little thing in the bottom. He was a great slugger, or he was a family man, or a dedicated servant of the community. All these kind of things like that. So I was thinking that if I ever was in a Christian country and I died, I'd say, listen, here's the inscription for my stone. He meant well, but he went to hell. He meant well, but he went to hell. So this type of mentality is hellish, to think that I can use the holy name, I can use Krishna to clean my shoes. I run out in the mud and step in the muck, and then I think I can just use Krishna to clean up my muck, right? Beforehand, I think, okay, I know there's a lot of mud out in the field, my shoes are getting all full of mud and dirt, but I can just call Krishna and say, Krishna, clean my shoes. So I'm not afraid to run in the mud. So this is a very, very hellish mentality. They go, I will sin and then I'll just chant Hare Krishna because it's so pavitram and purnashuddha. Purnashuddha nitya mukto. It's eternally liberated and completely pure. So Krishna said, you cheater, get out from here. Take your shoes and slap you in the face. Put this tool on your nose from your shoes. Use your shoes and your dirt on your face. Tum. In the following quote, Prabhupada describes the supremacy of Krishna's holy name. This is quite a nice statement here. The conversation, December 23rd, 68. This Maya is very strong. She will force you and entice you to take another path. Just like Haridas Thakur was chanting, and Maya could not victimize him. Maya failed. Maya became his disciple. He did not become Maya's disciple. This is a tug of war. So don't be afraid of Maya. Simply enhance or increase the chanting, and you will be the conqueror. Maya cannot do anything. Simply you have to become strong. And what is that strength? Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And then the qualifying word, he said, loudly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishnanam Sankirtana Ki. Yeah. Rectifying the seventh offense. Well, Prabhupada already told us that we won't make the offense if we take shelter of loud chanting. This seventh offense of committing sin on the strength of the holy name, or to think that one can, especially the mentality is really the thing. This offense can be nullified by repentance and surrender in the association of pure Vaishnavas. One should think, what a terrible offender I am. The holy name can give prem and the direct service of Radha Shyam. Yet I am using this transcendental vibration for cleansing my sins. Alas, I cannot be released from my sin even after experiencing millions of hells. Thus repenting and deeply lamenting, one should loudly call out to one's spiritual master and ever-well-wisher, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai!
Or whomever. Or you can say he's everyone's well-wisher. At one time or another, or one way or another, practically Srila Prabhupada is everyone's well-wisher. By the mercy of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, one can renew his chanting and become reestablished in spiritual life. This reminds me, this statement here about the holy name gives prem and the Sakshat Seva, Radha Krishna Sakshat Seva, the direct service of Radha and Shyam. This is what the holy name wants to give and likes to give and will give. And there's no other function of the holy name. I was reminded once I went to a Jyotishi, and he, an astrologer, and he said, you should chant Vishnu Sahasranam as some remedial measure or some dosh or whatever. Grahan dosh. Faulty planet. And so then I said, well, our scriptures say that 1,000 names of Vishnu equals one name of Ram, and three names of Ram equals one name of Krishna. So I'm already chanting Hare Krishna, so why I can't chant more or chant better? And then he was really cool. He was really good. He said, no. Hare Krishna, this is Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra is only for love of God. We don't use this Maha Mantra for any kind of planets and material things and all this. What is this? But he said, no, Krishna's name is not. Krishna is Prem Purushottam. Krishna is the abode of love. And his place is the abode of love. So his mantra is only for this, for bhakti, for Prem. He said for bhakti. But this is some karma dosh. So Vishnu is controlling the material world. Do you know that? He's in your heart. And you're in the material world. So he's in your heart in the material world. Sri Lakshmi Vishnu. And he's on the Svetadvipa planet as Garbhalakshmi Vishnu. And then he's there. The whole material world is all about Vishnu. It's called Purusha Avatars. Mahavishnu, Garbhalakshmi Vishnu, and Sri Lakshmi Vishnu. So they're involved. It's their place. It's their factory. So they have to take care of the factory. If there's something wrong with the production line, they have to check it up, fix it up. So I'm in the factory. So I'm under the control of the factory owner, and manager, and comptroller. So Krishna, he's beyond all this. He's way beyond the material world. Why are you bothering him with your problems? You go to Vishnu. Everyone goes to Vishnu. Haven't you seen the Bhagavatam? Have you read the Bhagavatam? Shiva goes to Vishnu, Brahma goes to Vishnu, Indra goes to Vishnu, Chandra goes to Vishnu, 33 million demigods, they all go to Vishnu and say, hey, Vishnu, help! Hiranyakashipu is on my tail. This guy's on my tail. That demon's on my tail. This asura. Ravana's on my tail. Ravana, took my sports car. Ravana stole my Mercedes. And my wife, too. So, can you help out? He's too tough to handle. Bali Maharaj beat me up yesterday. Daddy. So, they go to Vishnu and say, oh, Vishnu, Bali beat me up. Really? Oh, how did it happen? I was just sitting there enjoying in my planet. He came and kicked me upside the head. Oh, okay, I'll fix him. And then here comes his Vamanadeva, right? And retrieves the planets for all the crying demigods, just like little babies cry when their candy's taken away. So if your candy's taken away or your planet's taken away, the result is the same. The reaction's the same. You're going to cry. The baby cries to the mother and the demigods cry to Vishnu. Wah. Of course, they try to make it a little stylish. Some Sanskrit shlokas. You're so great. You're the creator. You're doing everything. They always, that's a preamble. Then he's there like, okay, yes, 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 yes. Okay, then what's the bottom line? So then the last shloka is, oh, by the way, can you please save us? Can you please kick these demons out of here and give us back our fun games, our amusement parks and movie theaters and sports cars? So he says, all right, don't cry. And then he does the needful. Except if you offend a Vaishnava. When Durvasa Muni offended a Vaishnava, he went to Vishnu, and Vishnu said, out of here, Jack. No luck. I can't help you. I can kill any demon in the world. I can give anybody a planet. I can fix all the demigods, help them out, stop their crying, wipe their tears. But you, my friend, my Muni Raj, Rishi friend, Yogi friend, you're in bad straits. You're really in trouble because you offended the great devotee Ambarish Maharaj. He's a Kshatriya, he's a king, you're a Brahmin, you're a Yogi. But now you're in the dust. You have to fall in the dust of his feet. Because I follow the feet of my Vaishnavas. I live in the dust of the feet of my Vaishnavas. So you have offended the dust of his feet. So only the dust of his feet can forgive you. So you have to put your head in that dust and bathe your heart with that dust. And then you can get free from that offense. Otherwise, this chakra is going to chase you forever. So then he went back to Durvasa Muni and he went back to Ambarish and got forgiven. So this is the seventh offense. By repenting and deeply lamenting and loudly calling out to one's spiritual master, and by the mercy of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, one can renew his chanting and become reestablished in spiritual life.